like that. You didn't even, but there wasn't even a moment of hesitation.
What kind of question is that?
All right. And then I think it was just yesterday that he was Scotty J to us. Just a nondescript. Do we still have his air check sitting around somewhere? Didn't he?
I think it was in your office.
All right, I got to find that in the next break. Because that was what it was like in May or June or something, Scotty. And he, because Susan Reynolds had hooked us up with him, and he'd given us a CD that contained, it was like a homemade air check. April, thank you, Scotty. It was a homemade air check or some air check he'd recorded in some, at some fake radio station somewhere. All right, I think it's in my office. I got to go find that.
Excellent.
Fantastic. All right, it's, can I save all that stuff? I don't throw any of that away. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is 1 minute and 38 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of October, the year of our Lord, 2006. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Southern State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. If you want to engage with us on the phone today, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email us with your comments, your clarifications, and what have you. It is Rick at RickEmerson.com. You have high school air checks? From where? I mean, I understand from high school, but where? Was there a high school radio station? Was it like that radio station on the in 90210? Was in the hallway? Did y'all have dancers there? Where you wore bobby socks? Okay. KSPR in Hillsboro. Fantastic.
All right,
yes. Yeah, you. The relaxing sounds of KSPR. All right, you have to bring those. You have to bring your high school air checks. Really? The Spartans? Is that where KSPR comes from? The Spartans? All right. Yeah, whatever. Isn't the Spartans the one who went into battle accompanied by nude, greased up young children? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
No, that was the Spartans.
Yes. There you go. All right, 503-733. You kicked ass. Okay, whatever you say. 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. All right, so in the next break, I'll go find that. Real quickly, we've already got people calling in about God knows what. It can't just be more requests for Mark Foley impersonations, although we've got a whole lot of those. A whole lot of people who were strangely, not just aroused, entertained and aroused by our recreations of former congressmen.
Okay, well, that stops me from reading those
right
now.
I'll have to come up with some more today, then.
No, here's
the thing.
We have
to give the public what they want.
And they're all aroused by the fact that you're taking the male role. That's the thing that they all find hot. It's all like,
I hate it when you use the word aroused. It's just wrong.
What am I supposed to say?
I don't know. They're anything besides aroused.
Turned on? That make you feel less awkward?
Or maybe we should just not talk about it at all.
Let's do them on K-Hits.
It's a news story. We have to provide. Who will tell the people, Sarah Dillon, if not us? If not us, who? If not now, when? All right. It's 503-733-2970. And it's more evidence that I really have very few demonstrable radio skills because I've only got the one. It's like when we would do that role play with Jolie, where she would be the husband and I would be the wife, and it's all just the same voice. Because my voice of whatever nondescript teenage nude boy on the other end of the IM is just, that's the same voice as my Raquel voice with Jolie. So, all just, you know, no matter what it is you're eating, it's all ladled out of one big pot. Anywho, all right, before we welcome Mary to the program, she's going to be our stenographer in the absence of mailman Chris. She's going to track what we've gotten to and not gotten to. There's something that was really important. It seemed like there was a thing that was vital that I had to say. Wait. No, I have nothing. All right, let's, hello, Mary, how are you doing today?
Doing well, how are you?
All right, so where did we ever figure out exactly where I was push-up-wise, or was it just that I failed to get to two things yesterday?
Two and a half. Well, because you said the clown counted as half of a...
Well, was it that I got bonus points for doing a clown watch? Is that what it was? Is that I got some sort of grace note?
You missed three watches, and then the...
Well, but I made up for it kind of by doing a clown watch. It was sort of a...
No, you didn't. Like, it wasn't on the list.
Two and a half.
It was sort of... It was like a news-oriented penance.
Clown, you can do that. We'll just add two real push-ups and a girly push-up.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, so here's what we're going to get through today. Someone you hate gets punched in the face, and it's fantastic.
Yeah!
Someone you love, something you love, will be canceled. Don't mess with bees because they will kill you. And if you run from the cops, your head will end up on a stick. We've got that today. Plus, what else? We have CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Also, is it Ed McCarthy? Is that what we have today? Yeah, Ed McCarthy, Bob Costantini, and Jim Roop will be joining us today. Plus, we have another exciting installment of the week in Geek. All of that. And we're going to attempt to find... Now, this is... I'm not promising this next thing. This is just an observation. I'm going to attempt to dig up Scotty's air check that he brought here in April when he first applied. What's that?
Let's see if Band-Aids that we actually play, because I have it.
And Band-Aids. We'll have Band-Aid today as well. So that's what we've got. Tim Riley, do we have watchers today?
Yes, we do. Brittany. Geek. Religious nutcase. Several Florida things.
All right. Well, that's enough. We're already biting off more than we can chew there. So that's like 55 things right there.
Yes.
So there you go. Do you have all of those things which I am now swearing that we're going to get to without fail?
I do, except for the second thing. People you hate punched in the face, and then people you love.
Here are the three things I said at the top. Someone you hate gets punched in the face. Something you love will be canceled. And don't mess with bees.
Got it.
Which is sage advice. Which really you shouldn't need me to tell you. That should be a thing you just know. Bees are one of many. They're one of many hundreds of species rising up and vying for their place at the top of the food chain. A macro predator, one might say. So there you go. And we'll check with you like, I don't know, like 250, 255. And right. We'll see what we've gotten to and not gotten to.
Okay.
All right, thank you. All right, there you go. That's Mailman's daughter, Mary. All right, there you go. Did we ever hear back from the guy who was trying to stalk Sean Penn? Not stalk. That's the role. We shouldn't put it that way. Trying to show his fandom for Sean Penn by getting a picture?
Because he was probably asked to leave if he tried to do that, because that is off limits.
Well,
you weren't supposed to approach Ron Livingston when we were extras.
Did they actually say that?
Don't approach. Do not speak to. Do not think. That's common on any set.
Really?
Yes.
All right. But see, it's probably even more so with Sean Penn, though, because Sean Penn... And I'm not, because he's that guy, he had that whole rash of photographer beatings, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't he the guy that was either punching a bunch of the paparazzi in the face and so forth? It was him and Tommy Lee, they were sort of vying, they were sort of neck and neck for cameraman punching awards for a while there.
Then all the extras on that movie got in trouble for going on IMDb and putting themselves down as extras. There were like 3 million extras that looked
in
that movie.
To do that?
No, you're not. Not if you don't have a speaking part, no.
Well, according to who? Who says that?
That is the law of the motion picture industry.
Rules like that make me angry. Those are stupid rules.
You can't have 500 extras in the credits.
Why not? If you're on camera, you're allowed to go. Oh, please. You should be allowed to go on and you glom onto your second and a half of fame.
Nope. Not allowed.
There are rules that need to be followed. There's no wiggle room. There's just no, that's just the
what
way
What happens
it is.
If you have a stadium scene with 5,000 people?
Well, I guess. I just...
So, there have to be rules, standard rules, all the time.
Okay. Sorry. Move on now. Sorry about it. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Stone. How you doing?
I'm good.
Did you have one of those caramel muffins this morning?
I did not. I told you. No, I didn't.
You did. They're over there. You should have one. They're filled with creamy caramel goodness.
No, I'm eating good this week, remember, because I want to fit into my dress for my birthday this weekend.
But that's stupid, because you can't lose weight in like 3 days.
I already have.
You can if you go to get a colon cleansing.
I wish. I can't afford that.
Your body cut off.
No, I've been biking and eating healthy for 3 days.
And this is because you're coming up because it's your birthday this weekend.
Yeah, because I have a dress, like a really tight dress I want to wear, and I don't want to spend the whole night sucking in my stomach.
Is this incentive clothing?
Yes.
Is this incentive to lose weight clothing?
Well,
is that
no,
what this
plus,
is?
You know, because we'll be taking pictures, and like, I don't want to be round-faced in my pictures.
I don't want to be a sphere.
Yeah.
I don't wish to be circular in all my photos.
So if I just take care of myself for a few days and just bike ride everywhere,
yeah.
I'll be good to go.
That's usually how it works out.
Yeah.
I never even really got down to be thin enough. I realized that at a certain point I was going to actually have to shave my rib cage to fit into this T-shirt I bought. And so I finally just got rid of it. But I do have this sort of, and this makes me sound all girly. But I did, at one point, when I was trying to lose weight, I did buy this T-shirt that I really liked, but it was a size too small. And so I just figured, that I would buy it and then I would have to lose weight to fit into it. And I actually went so far as to wear it out in public one time, and it was just the worst.
That never happens. I bought a pair of jeans, like designer jeans that were on sale. Still don't fit me.
No, no. And I wore it when I was doing that, the Barfly, the rock and roll trivia for Jen, for Barfly. I was doing that, I think it was before the last time we got fired. And it was like on third Thursdays, or every third Thursday, I would go to Kelly's. And I would do the, you know, I would DJ and I would do rock trivia. And I wore this terrible shirt. And it seemed like a good, it's, see, men have just this endless capacity, though. I don't know what the female equivalent of this is. I think maybe there is no female equivalent. I think men have an endless capacity for thinking that they look good when they don't, and I think women have an endless capacity for thinking they look bad when they look fine. I don't really think there is. Oh. I know there's no middle ground.
So my friend Kiki and I went shopping yesterday.
My friend Kiki.
No, it's just. Let me finish because it's relevant to what you just said. So she was sitting there complaining about how fat she was when we're surrounded by morbidly obese women, and she's going on and on and on about how much weight she's losing. This girl weighs like 110 pounds.
Yeah.
And I was just like, stop talking. You're embarrassing yourself. Like, there are all these people around you who need to lose weight, and you look just fine.
It's not just embarrassing. It's actually angering. And not just to fat people. I think just to, I don't know, start off the whole thing by just telling you a whole bunch of stuff about what's wrong with people, but I'm telling you this, it just drives guys crazy. It just makes guys just so nuts to hear girls sitting, I'm so fat! It just drives guys up the wall. Especially when it's, I mean, it's one thing if you actually got a weight problem, you actually are an obese person, but I mean, if you feel like you're fat, I mean, lose weight or don't, but don't sit and carp about something you're not doing anything about. But the vast majority, but that's the thing, you never hear fat people complaining about being fat, ever. I don't know, there's some weird, it's like that thing about how you supposedly can't smell your own body odor, which I don't think is true anyway, but there's that thing that they say, and they say that typically one cannot smell one's own perspiration. I know that we're not even into the lunch hour yet, but I'm just going to get with the perspiration talk. I do have a point here. They used to claim that you were not able, typically speaking, unless you had just spent the day rolling around in sewage and motor oil, they claim that you were not able to smell your own body odor. I don't really know that that's true, but that is what they claimed. There is something at work there that is like that with fat people. Well, you never hear fat people note. Fat people are always convinced that they're fine for some reason.
That's because they're completely aware of the fact that they are morbidly obese.
I don't think so, though.
Why are you saying morbidly? I don't know. Okay.
Because it's accurate. It's not like plain old obese. It's morbidly obese.
I don't even know what morbidly obese means. I think morbidly obese.
Isn't that when it starts to impact your health?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so it would be wrong of me to weigh in on the health concerns vis-a-vis one's corpulence. And I realize that this makes us sound really shallow, but that's us. We're going to spend like 20 minutes talking about Paris Hilton getting hit in the face later. So you just have to get with the fact that there is no depth, nor texture, nor quality to the show. We are what we are, and you can take it down the road and dump it if you don't like it. My whole thing is, to answer your question, now that we're like 9 layers into this onion, I think morbid, the difference between being, and this is all very subjective, because there's way too thin, and then there's skinny, and then there's, I guess, normal at some point, and then there's chubby and chunky, and this is all of these gradients of weight, and then there's obese, and then there's morbidly obese, and I think morbidly obese, it just involves this sort of factor, and by that I mean that's when you're walking through the food court and you turn the corner by the ATM because you're trying to go to the Cajun Grill and you get distracted by a thing on the floor and you reach down and you pick up the thing on the floor and you look back up and you go because there's a huge. I mean, we've all seen those people. Let me ask you this: have you ever seen this guy? And it's not a specific guy, but I'm saying this is a type of person. Sometimes a man, sometimes a woman. But it's more horrifying to me somehow when it's a man.
Really? Because these women distract me because there's that thing that grows.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
It. Okay, what is the?
Well, because it's more horrible on a woman because they tend to wear like stretch pants.
Oh,
and it tends to be accentuated, and you can see like every ripple.
And they all think that they're sexy. They all think that they're sexy.
I don't think they think
and
they're
sassy.
Sexy.
Oh, that's not true. Fat women always think that they're sexy. You know that's true. You know it's true.
I don't.
I could ask every guy in the audience right now, and they would all agree with me. Fat women always think that they're hot. That's what I mean. There's some weird there's some weird opposite denial thing that happens here, where skinny women always think that they're ugly. And I'm not even saying skinny. I'm saying, like, women who are normal looking always think that they're fat. And fat women always think that they're sex queens. I'm not trying to be sexist or lookist or whatever. I got all my problems. Look, I'm an ugly guy. What are you going to do? I'm just saying people are weird in the ways that Nicole Richie thinks she's too fat, right?
And she's 86 pounds.
And she's 86 pounds. You go to the mall, and it's always a mall, quite possibly Walmart. You go there, and there's some woman, and she's got, there's no other way to say it, part of her stomach is literally, it's like at sub-crotch level. And I don't know how that happens.
I don't either.
It's like,
and I never want to know. I don't want to know.
I'm just saying, that woman
weird.
Always thinks that she's sexy and sassy.
But I don't even understand how that grows.
I don't know. But it's funny that you and I immediately thought of the same body part. And the reason I was thinking of this body part is I was at the mall, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 days ago. So I'm walking around the mall, guy sitting on a bench, of course, because that's a thing you got to do. At a certain point, there ought to be a service where it's like a train that lays its own track. There ought to be just like the portable bench you can bring along with you. And the guy sitting there, big bag of caramel corn in one hand, of course. Big bag of caramel corn, big box of shoes from the Foot Locker in the other. Because you got to figure that guy goes through shoes at a rate that's probably 800 times that of the... You can just hear those sneakers screaming with every step that he takes, too. No more weight! Ah! No more weight! Ah! So he's sitting there. He's got the cargo shorts on. And they're all... And as somebody once noted, guys like that, in this case it was a guy, they always wear those cargo shorts that are really... They're always... Somehow they find them that are really roomy... And you're always walking at just the right angle that you get the eye line, like, straight up the pant leg, right into the nexus there. And that's no good. And so he's there, cargo shorts, and, like, a shirt that says, you know, whatever, Disneyland. And then the shirt doesn't quite cover, and it's as though he was smuggling a loaf of unbaked bread. But then the temperature spiked. And the bread began to ooze downward.
Forward.
That guy, that's morbidly obese. You know why? Because you look at it and you go, no, oh my arm. That's why.
Okay.
Where did we start this conversation?
I don't know.
Muffins. Did you have one of the caramel muffins?
No, I didn't
muffins?
Have
go
a
have
muffin.
One.
No.
Have one.
Nope.
Have one.
Nope.
Yes, have some.
You'll become morbidly obese.
They're really good. It'll make you look
I just
grown
had
up.
My lasagna. I'm
I have
good.
Two this morning. You have to have at least one.
No way.
All right.
I'm sorry. I have this thing called willpower, Rick.
You shut your hole. All right. Okay. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
I am.
So they claim.
Well, we have some breaking news. It looks like Foley's chief of staff has resigned.
Bam!
Congressman Foley asks, any of you boys interested in going out for a little ice cream?
Oh, come on. Come on. You're making that up.
No, it's true.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I haven't read any Foley news this
morning.
Well,
then you have to listen.
Here's the thing. It's not even that I consciously avoided reading Mark Foley news. It's just that I knew whatever I read about him would be outdated by the time it came on the air. It doesn't matter what we said. By 11 o'clock, there would have been some new, more horrifying revelation.
God. He's not a pedophile, just a gay alcoholic, Catholic abused by a clergyman.
Misunderstood.
He is not a victim. He is not a victim, and he is not a perpetrator. Oh, he is a victim. He is a victim, not a perpetrator, says his lawyer, David Lee Roth. Meanwhile,
Bowser.
A flying Elvis has suffered a broken pelvis.
Man. The best show ever. Already. We're only 19 minutes into it.
And those are just the headlines.
That's fantastic.
Not only do we tease, we deliver.
Okay, but that's not a real name for that body part. Is that a crude...
I know what he just said.
What?
Well, I'm not going to repeat it. Wait, what did he call it?
It's this. Scotty is claiming that body part is called this. But is that crude in some fashion?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a known obscenity?
Yeah.
Is that a contraction of two obscene words?
I can't imagine.
I'm surprised it's part of Scotty's vocabulary.
I can't imagine what two body parts that word would be a contraction of.
I'll tell you during the break.
I see. You'll explain it to me later. That's like a whole. What are those monkeys doing in the zoo? I'll explain when we get it all.
Yeah.
So talk about it later, son. Get in the car. What? All right.
I'll write it down.
All right, thank you. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Well, yeah, you can also call it Yeah, you can also call it an abdominal apron. That's what the... And you don't want to mention abdominal aprons around me, because then I'll uncork that story. And my favorite... I'll uncork my favorite obesity story ever. Maybe I'll wait until 12. Oh, is this our good friend, burgeoning radio student, Tim? Hey, Tim, hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, not bad. How are you guys doing?
I'm rolling along, brother.
Hey, I got some news here. I was reading through the Portland Tribune, and I found this little ad. It says, Al Gore, a live presentation and discussion about the most critical issue of our time.
Right, well, he's doing the global warming thing.
Yeah, so nature is going to kill us all.
No, it's true. This is, and he's charging like $75 for it, and it's the same thing that he did last year for free.
Did you see it last year?
No, I saw the movie.
Yeah, no, but he did it. I think it was just Sneeden. It was Chris Sneeden from OregonLive.com that saw it last year. Yes, there you go. Thank you. There you go. That's Tim. Oh, morbidly obese is 100 pounds or more over the ideal weight.
Okay.
Says Scotty.
Oh.
Well, that doesn't mean anything because no one knows. Ideal weight, I get the feeling, is one of those things that they just slide around every year. It's just like that food pyramid. Do you remember how the food pyramid...
Eat lots of meat.
Yeah, Sarah's body language implies that she's not
because
immune.
Because I know you're going to talk about the food pyramid for like 3 minutes, and nobody cares about
I love
food
the
pyramid.
Food pyramid.
Except for Tim.
I'm fine. That's okay.
I don't care for the meat part.
Keep the observations to myself.
The show's not about me.
Maybe I just won't talk about anything. Maybe we can just sit and have a low droning sound on the air.
How about some muffins?
Rick's he's lashing out because he had 2 caramel muffins, and he didn't ride his bike. I didn't see it parked out there.
Shut your mouth about what I did and didn't ride.
Yeah.
That's 503-733-2970.
It's all just going to settle as you're sitting in your seat riding home.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for that. I appreciate that.
Muffin, no problem.
Just for that, I'm going to tell my abdominal apron story later in long, excruciating, pink, fleshy detail. All right, coming up bottom of the hour, Bob Costantini will be here to talk about our favorite guy this week, Mark Foley. Later on, Week in Geek, all of that coming. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. You know, it's an email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up bottom of the hour, here we got Bob Costantini. And just a moment later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Also Jim Roop. Week in Geek, etc. I'm getting all kinds of unpleasant. Rick, this email says... It's called a... I'm not even going to read this. What? Yeah, but they say it stands for pelvis. You claim it stands for something, but that would be female specific.
That is female specific, yeah. No, but it's also what Scotty Jacobin said a caller called and said, which is what I remember too. It's a front butt.
Front butt. Oh, that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
I know. Oh. But it doesn't that accurately describe it.
Oh. See, but that's one of those things now I can never unsee in my head. Oh, and look, this is the worst part. And then we're talking to Bob Costantini here. But the very worst part about front butt. There ought to be I would be amazed if there isn't a band called the Front Butt,
by
the
way. I'm sure there is a front butt.
And it's all taken. Every name you could possibly think of for a band. But that's perfect. And they would play at Cibales. Here's the thing is, when you say that, though, I can say this now because it's years later. She's probably dead. There's this one teacher I always think of, always, and she was, I won't even specify what grade, but it's when I was in middle school, and I had a female teacher who favored these really tight, like business slacks, and then a blouse, but the blouse was all, like at a certain point, you got to learn to untuck, or at least buy something a little more spacious, and not her though, so she would buy these pants. And she had a weird body type where she wasn't so much like you'll hear, sort of Like, I always use that analogy of, like, if you squeeze a balloon in the middle and it, you know, expands out on both ends. Imagine the opposite.
Oh, so you'd, like, belt it?
Yeah, well, no, it's like, but it was sort of the opposite, where they're like, you'd squeeze in the balloon at both ends, and it just ballooned just in a very specific part of the middle. So she had, you know, she fall fine down below on the legs, fine up top on the waist and the torso, and then,
weird.
Right below the belt line, it was like she was smuggling a large NFL-sized football.
Hmm.
And I remember, and this was, I was in, well, let's say with sixth or seventh grade. I remember sitting there in the second row and watching her move, and it was hypnotizing after a while. Like, you would sort of be, because...
How long do you really want to talk about this?
I'm just saying, and then we'll go to the news. Because for me, it was transfixing, because at that point...
It is
point,
pretty fascinating. I mean, where does it come from?
Because what is it? That's the thing.
I don't know.
And I had a pretty rudimentary knowledge of, I guess, male and female anatomy based on science and health class. And I'm thinking, I haven't seen that in any of the charts. And it's and you're sitting there trying to correlate it to the body parts you know of in your head. And it's just a complete mystery. So, all right. Well, never mind. Let's move on. Let's welcome now. Hello. Thank you. CNN radio correspondent Bob Costantini joining us from the Hill. Bob, how are you, sir?
Fantastic. I love the music.
Are you?
Are
you indeed fantastic, or is that a stock answer covering perhaps deeper problems?
Feels Bob? Like I should just walk in a grandiose fashion or something like
that. You always come on in a grandiose fashion, Bob. No, I'm serious. You carry with you an air of authority, and one might even say gravitas.
Yes, gravitas. Hmm.
You don't believe me, do you?
I didn't even spell that the other day. No. I have it.
No. So is this, now, is somebody, is this because, is Lisa Goddard being sent back over? Is this because she's in Lancaster County? Are you in for somebody this week?
Yes,
or
Lisa is returning home this evening.
Yeah.
And was up in Lancaster, yes.
Okay, that's a whole bad scene that is. So, I mean, it's, and not that this, I mean... Good God, not that this Foley thing is... I mean, the Foley thing is disturbing, of course, but, I mean, it's just in a whole... Just in a whole weird, off-the-charts, bizarre kind of way. Now, I haven't confirmed this. I was telling a news director, Tim Riley, that I've actually quit now reading any of the Mark Foley news in the morning because I know by the time I come in, by the time it gets to be, let's say, 11:35 here at Pacific time, anything I had read about, it will be outdated because they will have found something new and horrifying.
Yeah.
So...
Well, we have some breaking news on that front.
Okay. Am I going to need to get, like, a bucket or something? Is this going to be cringe-inducing?
This is the chief of staff to Representative Tom Reynolds of upstate New York has resigned over this whole Foley matter. He used to be chief of staff for Congressman Foley. The key thing here is that Tom Reynolds, the representative from upstate New York, is the head of the Republican Congressional Committee, which is the aim of which is to elect more Republicans to the House of Representatives. And his chief of staff, whose name is Kirk Fordham, has resigned because there's some scrutiny as to whether or not he helped, try to avoid further investigations of what Foley was doing.
You know what this reminds me of? I was talking to, who was I talking to about this the other day? I was talking to somebody whose name escapes me, and we were talking about the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal. And there's a fantastic book by one of your colleagues, a guy from CNN, a guy named Jeffrey Toobin. And he wrote a fantastic book. If you are a political junkie or you just want to read a great book about American culture and the way that it unraveled to a certain extent in the late 90s, you read this book called A Vast Conspiracy, which is, in my mind, sort of it's the definitive document that I have read about the Clinton Lewinsky thing. And he describes, and I think it's amazing to me, I'm not lamenting that we have a short memory in this country, that I'm just saying it does seem like we have these big traumatic tears in the sort of the fabric of the national psyche, like the Clinton Lewinsky thing, and then we sort of move on and we forget exactly how insane and intense it was. Same thing with OJ, same thing with all of that, where it sort of happens and then we kind of, we remember that it happened, but we just sort of move on and we forget exactly how messed up the whole country was. I do have a point here. My point is this. There was this moment in the Clinton Lewinsky scandal when, as Jeffrey Toobin puts it, and I agree, that there was this sense of national vertigo, that the whole country was just starting to spin out of control. And the moment was this. It was when the Republicans are going after Clinton just with pitchforks and axe handles, just with everything they had. And then Larry Flint of Hustler Magazine made this famous offer where he said, look, if you got proof that you were getting it on with a Republican, you give it to me and I'll pay you for it. And, you know, within, and then, as you well know, things, names like Bob Livingston started to break it. Everything just started to implode.
Yeah, Bob Livingston was going to be the Speaker of the House. So.
Yeah, and he, I mean, literally, Larry Flint, a pornographer, and I don't say that with any in a pejorative, just what he is, affected the course of the national, and it was, you had politicians resigning, you had, was it Bob Barr that we thought was going to be the next to go? And, I mean, there was this real sense of every day the body count was increasing and dominoes were falling and you just never knew where it was going to stop. And it was a very freaky time. And I'm not saying this is on that level, but I mean, but it's already claimed Foley, and it's already claimed, as you said, there's, what is it, at least one other person, this guy who was in charge of making sure the Republicans win office. We're coming up on the elections this fall. I mean,
his chief of staff, I want to be clear about that.
Yeah, it's just, and so now the latest thing this morning is that, we found out that at least what Fox News knew about this a year ago, right? Is that the case?
There are some indications that other reporters knew about this. I'm not sure exactly how many or what we're reporting here at CNN, and of course we tend to stay away from the idea of poking Fox News in the eye necessarily, but it's just the. There are some news organizations that may have known about this.
Well, I'll say that according to what I read this morning, and this is, I believe, the Associated Press who reported this, they claimed that not only ABC News, but that, in fact, Fox News knew about it in 2005 and just decided for whatever reason that it wasn't anything that anybody needed to know about, which seems a little freaky. And, is there a sense that this is going to be the Democratic playbook for the next, for the next 6 weeks?
Well, The indications are, by the way, also that some of the local newspapers may have picked up on the idea or on the rumor, whatever you say, that Foley was gay, and of course decided that that wasn't necessarily news. And whether or not they had that information in terms of his trying to contact pages, I think is still a bit up in the air as well, and as is the Fox News situation. The Democrats can just sit back and let this situation unfolds very poorly for the Republicans, I think. Democrats can say Speaker Hastert should resign, and even if he doesn't resign, then it just keeps the pressure on, it keeps the focus, keeps it in the news. The election is a little less than now 5 weeks away, and the electorate, as I think I may have said to you the other day, does have a short memory. But this is something that the Democrats can just sit back and really let it all unfold and let it damage the Republicans in various ways. And, one of the key points here of what has happened with the Foley scandal and how it was handled is what does this do to the large Republican base of Christian conservatives, the people who felt that they found a home in the Republican Party to go for their values, some place that they could vote for their values, and then to find out that this kind of thing was occurring and that it's possible. And again, I want to...
Well, it seems...
covered up.
It seems pretty unlikely that the Christian... I hear that a lot, that the Christian conservative... all they can do... I guess the worst thing they could do would be to just stay home, because it's not like...
Yeah.
It's not like they're ever going to defect over to the Democratic side of the aisle. That's not going to happen.
But the fear is among Republicans is that they will just stay home. They aren't likely to vote for Nancy Pelosi to be Speaker of the House. That alone will probably bring some of them out, and you'll probably hear references to that in the right weeks leading up to the election.
It does seem unlikely. So the latest is Mark Foley, as I understand it, is in what, he's in rehab or something now. Is that the deal? He's claiming he's an alcoholic.
He claims that he went into alcohol rehab. I'm not sure whether he claimed necessarily that he was an alcoholic, but it the indication is that drinking. And I guess some, emotional issues or mm-hmm. Mental issues.
I think we can all agree with the latter part of that.
That's, you can go into rehab for that kind of thing, I guess.
Well, I suppose, it seems to me, and I was making this observation yesterday, it seems to me that the rehab now, and I think we saw this with Mel Gibson, too, rehab's just kind of become a place you go when you don't want to have a forwarding address. You know what I mean? You just, just don't want anybody to be able to come up and knock at your door. It seems like a nice way. You used to be able to go to Club Med. Now you just go to, to Hazleton, because this is a place where nobody can come up and shove a microphone on you.
his lawyer has emphasized again that Foley never had inappropriate sexual contact with a minor. So that of course remains to be seen. This it's the idea is that this was just sort of an email kind of thing.
Well, but as I understand it, if you're talking with somebody who's under the age of 18, and again, let me stress real clearly, make a very clear observation here, because I want to be very clear that if you were saying that there were the rumors that he was gay, which I don't care about, which I don't think that's nobody's business, doesn't matter to anybody. Nobody, I don't have a problem with it, and it's not anybody's concern. The concern comes when he's a guy who, on the one hand, is being a Puritan and self-righteous and moralizing, and on the other hand, doing something which I believe, from what we heard, is a felony, which is online sexual discussion with somebody who's a minor. And there's no age, 18 is the age of consent, I believe, to be having an online sex chat with somebody.
And Mark Foley was there when the president signed that bill.
Well, and see, so here's my question, and I'm not trying to get you to ream on Fox News, because I can tell that you've got that, you've got this pesky streak of professionalism in you.
I try.
And we were talking about this yesterday. We do our very best to beat that right out of people, and I can tell that this is one of those days when you've got like the press reporter pass stuck in the brim of your hat. So We try to really drag you down to our level, Bob, and sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. I'm not trying to get you to bust on like Roger Ailes or Fox News or anybody, but my question is, if he's online engaged in a felonious activity, and I'm not saying he was, but presuming he was online engaging in a felonious activity, to wit, engaging in sex talk with somebody who's under the age of consent, and Fox News or whoever knew about it and didn't do anything about it, seems to me like that's a crime in and of itself.
Well, again, this hits to the idea of what was known earlier this year. What did the original emails that we heard about saying, asking a page for a photo and that kind of thing. Foley, from my understanding, is that Foley originally tried to explain that away as the pages were looking for references. And, of course, he was willing to give them a reference.
Yes, he was.
He indicated, from what I understand, he indicated that he'd like to have a picture of the page so he could remember the page. So if that was known and described even then as being inappropriate, it still is hard to say that rises to the level of needing a major federal investigation. And I hate to split hairs with that sort of thing, but it wasn't until ABC got a hold of the more explicit emails that he had sent that that this became
I think we can suffice it to say that
I'm not defending Fox News, I'm not defending the local papers, I'm not defending anybody, this is the way I think it can be. If they were here to defend themselves, this is how you might look.
All right. All I know is that the latest one apparently refers to going out and getting an ice cream cone, which is really one of those things that's going to keep me up at night.
Yes,
so.
But we'll hear more. And
yes.
Coming other messages yes. that may be coming forward.
Yes, we will, my friend. All right, Bob Costantini, thank you, sir. I appreciate the fact that you tolerate our juvenile inanity and my relentless attempts to drag you down into the muck and yellow journalism that we traffic in here on the Rick Emerson Show.
I appreciate you letting me hold on to my objectivity.
Oh, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. No, we'll beat it out of you eventually. Don't have no illusions about that.
All right.
But I do admire that you're putting up a good fight and trying to remain principled.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. There you go. Bob Costantini, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill.
Oh, I think our time with Bob is numbered.
No, I don't think so. Here's what it is. Here's exactly the bit. Somebody emailed me yesterday, and they're like, Bob Costantini sure is stiff. What the hell is that guy? He used to sound so great. We noted this. You know what it is? It's like it's like trying to discipline a kid that you only see every other week for like 5 hours because you and the wife split up. We only talk to Bob Costantini 3-4 days in a row, but it's like every 2 months. And it's so hard just to keep that guy down at our level. Roop, we talk to that guy like 3-4 times a week. And I speculate that Roop just ditched all of his regular journalistic standards a long time ago anyway. The thing about Bob Costantini, and you can hear this, and I'm not giving away any secrets. He's talked about this on the air, don't think. I'm speaking out of school, as they say. What does that phrase even mean? Talking out of school. Sarah just gave me the hurry up.
Hurry up. Just like I can see that going off for about 20 minutes.
That was so great, though. One of the hands was like, get back on point. So I'm not saying anything he hadn't already said. But he's, not a regular. He's not one of their actual full-time staff reporters and anchor. He is a fill-in, as he himself has said. And you can tell that he's like angling for, you know, somebody gets hit by a train, God forbid. He wants to be the guy that they call, like, Bob, step up and join the team. And so you can tell he doesn't want to get the reputation for being down in the muck with us.
Well, don't you think it's a battle that you'll never win, considering he's not a full-time employee and we'll never get to have him a bunch of days in a row to actually get to know him better?
I can keep, you know what?
Because it's just going to keep being awkward, because if we only talk to him a couple times, you know, once a month.
Here's the thing, Sarah. There once was a man who had a large... listen to me now. There once was a man who had a large boulder outside his home. The boulder was blocking...
Was it Jesus?
It wasn't. And that man was Jesus Christ. No. Now you've ruined the story. Screw you. I'm not going to tell you the story about the boulder now. You have to figure it out yourself. You're not going to get any easy allegories from me today. Damn it. All right. Anywho, well, that's the same thing with Chris Sneathan. You know, Sneathan was here together from Oregon Live, and he does he does like a political current events blog and a sports blog. And it's not that he sounded bad, but Tim noted later, he's like, Chris Sneathan sounds like he's on NPR. And he just sounded so smart and brainy and professional and serious and, like, not at all like the sort of hack-like, titillating, pandering crap that we come to expect and love on the show. Speaking of which, is this George? For the love of... I don't even have the sound already. Hold on just a damn second. Let's see.
There was one big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Hi, George. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm just kind of a little disgusted by the parsing gymnastics of the Republicans. It's just amazing.
Well,
I thought a blue dress was bad.
I was going to say let's not forget that it was that depends on what your definition is.
Yeah, I know.
Come on,
classic. But I
at least Clinton did it with style, though. Here's the thing about Clinton. Is that you got to admire the stones on that guy. Just the stones on Clinton to go.
I don't even know how he can sit down.
I don't know how that guy rides a bike. It's just that depends on what you mean by is. And then just looks him right in the eye. And he's just like, bring it on. You know, I love that guy.
Well, I got to say that Fox News has been found 3 times to have posted a D.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing.
God damn it.
And I forgot to mention it to Bob Costantino. Did you hear that?
Well, he was.
Fox News Television has been identifying Mark Foley as a Democrat all morning.
I mean, that's the end of the Republic. I mean,
they've been calling him a Democrat right on the screen. Mark Foley, Democrat. All day!
What can you say to that? I'm speechless.
The time for revolution is here.
The Bob Costantinis of the world are really what's wrong with the media.
Now listen to me now. Don't. This is you saying this. Don't bust on Bob. Bob is just a man trying to get a gig. You know what it is? It's hard out there for a.
Okay,
for
Bob. I won't bust on him. But what I wish,
he's just a guy trying. He's trying to get a full time job.
Okay, I'll try to spin this more positively. I just wish the media would really, you know, go and to, you know, stop being like you say about the Democrats, which I love what you said, which was, I thank you for this very succinct description, which is they're just a bunch of goddamn beta males.
Oh, the Democrats? No, they're all spineless little girls.
They will make no hay out of this. They will do nothing.
No, and again, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not
Nor
a
am
Democrat.
I.
Let me be very clear about that, because I don't believe the Democrats are any better at anything than the Republicans are. I mean, at least
the inside what the Republicans are on the outside.
Yeah, Republicans are evil, but at least you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you kind of know the deal. Tim and I have talked about this endlessly. So people like, well, Rick, if you weren't such a Democrat, I had some guy the other day, he's like, well, what with all your Republican bashing, I don't feel like I can listen any longer. It had nothing to do with that. Is the Republicans are running everything, so they're the ones. There's a simple rule in comedy. A simple rule in comedy, and I think in talk radio. For whoever's on top gets hit. You know what I mean?
Target, yep.
Right now it's the Republicans. Right now it's the Republicans and largely old white guys. So they're the ones who get hit. You know, someday I wake up and Al Sharpton's president. You know what? It's going to be a different game. Right now, that's not the case.
Well, as I told the Democrats that came to canvas, I used your phrase on them. That you're nothing but a goddamn bunch of beta males. And they looked at me like, oh my God, how politically incorrect. And then I said that, you know, if you're going to be right wing, why would I vote for right wing light? Why don't I just vote straight ticket Republican?
Seriously, Democrats have no sack. None of them. None.
Nothing, and they're going to lose, and they think they're going to win because everybody's so disaffected, but they don't know about the voting.
Empty. Machine. They've got empty pants.
They've got a whole lot of squat. So
all right.
Thank you, anyways, for that phrase. I use it often.
All right, it's what I do. There you go. Thank you. No, it's true. It's like a whole party, the Democrats. And I say this only as sort of from a Dick Morris perspective. I'm just telling them if they want to win something. I'm not even saying I'd vote for him. Probably wouldn't. Why? Goddamn useless. I'm just saying the Democrats going to win. It's like a whole party of James Taylors. Jesus. All right. Text message. All right. What am I even doing here? I had a thing I was going to get to.
We're not talking about this anymore.
I'm just saying. Well, no, we got the ice cream thing coming up.
No, that's fine.
We got to talk about.
I really do have to say that Bob Costantino does kind of cast not a very like glowing, happy feeling.
No, because he just tries so hard to be professional.
I know, and I know he's trying, and I know you. It's good in your heart, but.
He's trying to get a job.
I don't know.
He's trying to get a job, and I know that we just violate every canon of respectable broadcast and journalism. And that's the thing. I mean, look at it from... I mean, I don't know anything about Bob, really, apart from what he said on the air.
Well, I'm not saying anything about Bob specifically, but, I mean, listening to what he was saying, I didn't really...
Well, because he comes on, and imagine you're that guy. Your job at CNN is so-called... is to report the news fairly and objectively and to show no bias to either side, to give the people the information and let them make a decision based on honest, objective reporting. And then you come on here and I'm just making ice cream jokes and talking about, you know, the Democrats having no sack. I mean, it's got to make it feel, he's just got to be a little thrown off by that. I'm telling you, if we had access to him every day, I could warp him right away, though. In like 2 weeks, he'd be ours. We would tell him, give them to me when they are young and they will be mine forever. As Mark Foley would say. Mark Foley, Democrat. Can you believe that?
Of course I can.
Nothing on television happens by accident, by the way. Nothing in the media happens by accident. Three times they called him a Democrat.
That's just ridiculous.
Jesus Christ.
That's what gives me no hope.
World. No, there is
no hope.
That's what I've seen. There you go, Sarah. God bless you. That's what I'm saying. So I was saying to Sneathan the other day.
You can try to change things.
No, nothing changes. Nothing ever changes. Nothing ever gets better. And that's and that's just the way it is, sister. So you got to just embrace that. That's why, for me, for politics, it's just pure entertainment value now. It's pure spectacle and sport. And people, you're a nihilist. Man, nothing to do. Man, it's nothing ever works. Nothing ever gets fixed. Nothing's going to get fixed. Just the way it is. Vote if you like. Not going to, you know, if it changed anything, it'd be illegal. Let's see. Well, I'll shut your hole, Scotty. All right, let's take a break. Typing a bunch of tiger gibberish on the screen. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You know, I bet Mark Foley was a Boy Scout. It's 503-733-2970. Somebody look that up. See if you can find out if Mark Foley was a scout. I'll give you like
I wonder if Scotty actually did attempt to assist at the troop lady. Or right. Troop.
I think we all know the answer to that.
He's just too busy knocking back the bottle.
Too busy drinking alone in the closet.
And then scolding his children about what they should do with their spare time and then taking it away from them.
I mean a literal closet. 503-733-2970. Back after this is Queen. Don't go anywhere.